Well, it's time to get on the boat, leave Corinth. It's been an interesting pilgrimage, or a really peculiar vacation. Maybe a little bit of both. You ever been on a trip that just went a little too long? The last day or two, you're ready to go home. Or you just unconsciously decide to start going home in your mind, get yourself ready to transition back into the real world. Well, now it's time to leave Corinth and come home back to Houston. Oh, sure, we'll have memories of the things we've seen. You remember what started all of it? Way back in 1 Corinthians 1:10, months and months ago. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. That set the bar high. And then remember the power of were. Remember that beautiful word? Were. That's what some of you were. That's the power of God to look at our present sin, our present weakness. Does that hit home? Anybody got any present sin? Any present weakness? Well, guess what 1 Corinthians does? Right in the middle of arguments and controversies and sin and weakness, it looks at present sin, present weakness, and says, that's what some of you were. And what's our response? What's the natural response to that? Doesn't feel like were, feels like are. Sin, wish it were, but it weren't were, it is are. That's what we would say. And you know what the truth of the matter is? If you said that, you'd be dead on right. But Paul, in writing this beautiful image of the gospel, says, no, that's what some of you were. That put into the hands of Jesus, it takes the present and the past for that matter, and shapes it so far beyond how Jesus finds us even today. That's the power of the love of God. That's why back in 1 Corinthians 2, the church remembers that Paul came to them in weakness. And then he says, I did so as a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We think sometimes, back to even chapter 1, we think sometimes that this whole unity of the church thing rests on our shoulders. That we are somehow responsible, totally and completely, for making unity happen. When the opening call to worship in Corinth is all about God's power, not our own. And this is where we pray. This is finally, in light of everything going on in 1 and 2 Corinthians, where we go to God, knowing that it is by the power of God that all of this happens. So, let's pray. Our God and our Father, who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? In the name of Jesus, we ask you to unite us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Unite us in Jesus. Unite us in the mission of shaping the whole wide world and even our congregation in the image and likeness of Christ, in love, in patience, in kindness, in your love that never fails. Amen. So once more, with feeling, our dwelling in the Word passage, for 2017 that we'll read today for the last time this year. So, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. Always hopes. Always perseveres. Love never fails. This poem comes out of the central teaching of 1 Corinthians. Love builds up. 13, that we've read every Sunday this year, is really a response chapter. It's a response poem to one of the Corinthian issues. Because did you notice that as we went through 1 Corinthians? That these people have issues? Not one or two, but a whole bunch. And who knows, maybe they had even more than what Paul addressed in 1 Corinthians. But whatever the case, one of their issues was meat offered to idols in chapter 8. And one group is saying, here's this, and another group is saying, here's this, and the culture at large is saying, no, here's this, and Paul says, hold the phone. Just everybody hit the pause button, time out. And let's talk not about meat offered to idols, but let's talk about the umbrella under which all of these conversations need to come into play. And so here's where we're going to start. That eventually is going to lead to this really beautiful song. Love is patient, love is kind. That sounds nice. Yeah, but first, if we're going to do meat offered to idols from the standpoint of knowledge, then this is going to become a contest. Who in here knows more than anyone else about meat offered to idols in the Greco-Roman world? Anyone? Anybody like to... This is what we need in the church on a Sunday morning. We need a discourse on Greco-Roman meat offered to idols. No, Paul says, you can do that. Can we turn the air conditioner up? By the way, is it hot in here? Let's turn on the air conditioning. All right, now I'm going to get to preaching. It's not just me, right? So, if we do, knowledge puffs up. If he acknowledges that in chapter 8, then everything else that we talk about from this point forward is who has more knowledge. Meat offered to idols? You can go study it. Same is true back in chapter 5 with some of the controversies, and 6 in lawsuits, 7 on marriage, 8 meat offered to idols, 9 and 10 the Old Testament roots of the conversation around meat offered to idols, 11 Lord's Supper, 12 spiritual gifts, 13 the love chapter. You know, and on it goes. All this stuff that we're talking about, if we're doing it from the standpoint of who has the most knowledge, then the person with the most knowledge wins. And thanks be to God that we're at least starting to outgrow thinking that what church is supposed to be is I'm the smartest guy in the room. You're the smartest person in the room. It's not what this is. Instead, knowledge is going to puff us up. But you know what's going to build us up? Say it out loud. Okay. Love builds up. And then if you scoot back a little bit more into chapter 2, that's where Paul says he came to them in weakness. He could have come to them from the standpoint of human wisdom, human philosophy. And Paul was a master at it. He could have done that. But he said, instead, I came to you not based on my own wisdom, but I actually came to you in weakness, so that what we could put on display is the power of God. It goes from specific to general. Here's a specific instance, but now let's talk more generally. You know what I mean? Here's a single example, and then the broader stuff that we need to consider as a church. So, meat offered to idols? Sure, talk about that. You can't not talk about it, but then love builds up. Church budget? Well, it's a part of life together. Have to talk about it, but then love builds up. Everyone served at the Lord's Supper? Check. But that's not where it ends on Sunday morning. You don't do Lord's Supper, check it one more off the list, and then go live Monday through Saturday the way that you would have whether you took the Lord's Supper or not. That's not the way it works. Yeah, come, gather around the table, commune with one another. I like the way we do communion. You know, I just do. Because you can't sit there and just be a spectator. You know, you engage with people and you see people. And those of us who are maybe a little more introverted, it takes some getting used to, because it's like, look, leave me alone. I just want to be with Jesus. But then you start communing not only with God, but with one another. And you know what that practice looks like? What it sounds like? Sounds like love builds up. And then, after all that, Paul writes a sequel that's actually better than the first one. Mainly because 1 Corinthians deals with all these issues. Remember to love, you know, build up, you know, don't forget to patient, don't forget to kind. You know, those are verbs. Well, they're not, but they should be. Don't forget this week to patient. Don't forget to kind. Don't forget to love. But then 2 Corinthians sounds like, and I may be seeing what I want to see and hearing what I want to hear, but 2 Corinthians sounds like they took it seriously and actually started practicing this stuff. Can you imagine a world in ancient Corinth, this church of Jesus meeting in Corinth, that by the time we get to 2 Corinthians, there's no need anymore for 1 Corinthians? Because they've said, okay, we'll take it seriously. We will love build up. We will patient. We will kind. And that's what 2 Corinthians sounds like, that they agreed to do all those things. They agreed to protect, to trust, to hope, to persevere. That's a pretty good prescription for the church. It's not a bad place. If we've got to get on the boat and leave Corinth, that's not a bad prescription. Protect one another's hearts and minds. What's the mission of the Bering Drive Church of Christ? Well, I know it's love and serve God and people, but under that, based on 1 Corinthians and then into 2 Corinthians, what's a good prescription for the church? Protect one another's hearts and minds. What's our mission? What's what we're doing? We protect one another's hearts and minds. Another mission? Trust in God. And trust each other. That Jesus is actually at the center of our lives. Hope in everything. Hope Do you ever get so weighed down by the world that you don't feel like you can allow yourself to hope? I do. I think you do too. You know what the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is in 1st and 2nd Corinthians? It paints this beautiful little picture that says about love, which I think is really talking about God. It always hopes. Even when the world says, give up hope. You ever heard that from the world? Just give up all hope. And then the gospel says, no. Love in Christ Jesus always hopes. And then the last one on the list before love never fails. Don't you love this? David Thompson bought this at Bucky's. He brought it into class this morning. And I was like, if there was ever a sermon where it would be good to have a visual aid, you pick the right Sunday. This one right here at the end. For those of you who can see it. Now I'm getting cold again. But don't touch the thermostat. Everybody's happy. The whole thing about persevering. Persevere together. And some days it's not going to be easy. Kind of like Corinth. But what 2 Corinthians does is that it says all the stuff that they went to and went through in 1 Corinthians, they persevered. They stayed together. And they kept loving and building up and all that good stuff. Anyone can do church when everyone's in a good mood. I mean, that's not nothing to that. Everybody happy to be here this morning? Yeah, we're all happy. Good, let's go eat. Yeah, that's nothing to that. But 1 Corinthians tells the story of a church where the darkness closes in and the rain clouds open up and it just floods the world. And you know what they did? They persevered together. And they didn't persevere together out of their own willpower. They persevered together in Jesus. And that's why, here's what you've all been waiting for. Love rejoices in the truth. It is no wonder that the sequel opens with a statement about the comfort that we know among one another that comes from the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. But now that it's time to leave Corinth and come back home to Houston, we would do well, and we would even honor the Lord by taking what we saw and letting it shape our lives, and maybe even the lives of those around us. And that's how 2 Corinthians ends. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For to be sure, Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in Him, yet by God's power, we will live with Him in our dealing with you. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you failed the test. And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed. For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. We are glad whenever we are weak, but you are strong. And our prayer is that you may be fully restored. It's time to leave Corinth and go live. So, go live. Let's go build up in the love of Jesus. Let everything be done for building up. I'll say it one last time. Remember to be patient. And remember to be kind. Remember to be patient with those around you. Remember to be kind to those around you. Remember to be patient with yourself. Remember to be kind to yourself. And when someone is patient with you, it's the work of God. And when someone is kind to you, it's the power of God's Holy Spirit. And when someone is loving and patient and kind with you, especially when we experience it with one another, the correct response, the one that makes the most sense, is just sometimes even to say out loud, "Thanks be to God." We won't be hearing that week after week anymore now that we're getting on the boat. We won't stroll down the streets of Corinth anymore with big billboards that say things like love and patience and kindness. But we'll be okay. We've gotten the picture. We can remember. Because this is not by our power. It never was. And when we have some weaknesses, some hardships, some difficulties, and I'm here to tell you, even though we're not going to be in Corinth anymore, we still got to live in Houston. And that means we'll have some weaknesses, and we'll have some hardships, and we'll have some difficulties. Then again, let us say out loud that among us dwells the living God, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. And what we heard said on this interesting pilgrimage, this peculiar vacation, this summer and fall, that we may, days down the road, even weeks down the road and months, we may look back on and say something like, "What a long, strange trip it's been." We will go back home to Houston and we'll be better for our journey. We may actually even be better people for our journey, not by our own power, but because of the power of God. For as usual, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, this is us. 1st and 2nd Corinthians, not just 1st Corinthians, thanks be to God, but 1st and then 2nd Corinthians. This is all our story. This is us. We, from this point forward, from the boat ride home from Corinth for the rest of our lives, now that we have visited and spent time with them, and gone to church with them. The good news is that wherever we walk with Jesus, who never leaves us the way we were. Amen.